In this session, we shall explore the concepts of domicile and deemed domicile, and look at how individuals receive credit for any foreign inheritance tax suffered. Before we do so, let us quickly recap on the significance of an individual's domicile status for IHT purposes. If an individual is domiciled in the UK, he is subject to inheritance tax on transfers of worldwide assets, i.e. all assets, regardless of where they are situated. Therefore, as far as a UK domiciliary is concerned, any chargeable transfers, whether during life or on death, will be subject to inheritance tax. The position is different for individuals who are domiciled outside the UK. Individuals domiciled outside the UK are only subject to inheritance tax on transfers of assets situated in the UK. If a non-domiciled individual owns assets which are situated outside the UK, those assets are regarded as excluded property, and as such are outside the scope of IHT. For non-domiciliaries, only chargeable transfers of UK situs assets are subject to inheritance tax. At this point, it's worth quickly recapping on the three different types of domicile. We will start with domicile of origin. An individual normally acquires a domicile of origin from his father when he is born. An individual is not necessarily domiciled in the country in which he or she is born. For example, if a baby is born to British parents whilst they are on holiday in Australia, the child will be domiciled in the UK and not domiciled in Australia. Domicile of origin usually follows the father, although it could follow the mother or a legally appointed guardian. A child will have a domicile of dependency until he or she is legally capable of changing it. A person has a legal capacity to change their domicile on reaching the age of 16. Until then, if a parent or guardian changes their domicile, the domicile status of the child automatically changes with them. Before the 1st of January 1974, a woman automatically acquired the domicile status of her husband on marriage. For marriages after January 1974, this is no longer the case. It is possible for a husband and wife to have different domicile statuses, although in most cases, as their permanent home will be the same, so will their domiciles. The term domicile of choice is slightly misleading, as it seems to imply that taxpayers can alter their domicile at a whim. All a taxpayer can do is change his or her personal circumstances in such a way so as to lead the revenue to conclude that he or she is no longer domiciled in the UK. To lose a domicile of origin in the UK and establish a domicile somewhere else, the individual must leave the UK and settle permanently in another country. The key word here is the word permanently. If an individual is trying to persuade the revenue that he has established a domicile of choice somewhere other than the UK, the revenue will require evidence that the individual has abandoned his ties with the UK and settled permanently abroad. Such evidence will include the sale of UK properties and the acquisition of property abroad, moving the centre of one's social, family and economic interests to another country, and keeping return visits to the UK to a minimum. This failure to establish a settled intention to permanently reside abroad was a deciding factor in the case of Sir Charles Clough. Sir Charles Clough was a very wealthy UK-domiciled individual who spent the latter few years of his life living in Monaco. Even though he was not resident in the UK, and not ordinarily resident in the UK, the revenue argued, and the courts agreed, that Sir Charles had not formed a settled intention to live permanently in Monaco. For this reason, when Sir Charles died, he died domiciled in the UK. As a result, the whole of Sir Charles's worldwide assets, including substantial assets held in Jersey and Monaco, were subject to UK inheritance tax. The location of an asset for inheritance tax purposes is therefore very important for individuals who are not domiciled in the UK. For non-domiciliaries, assets situated outside the UK are excluded property and can never be charged to inheritance tax. The rules regarding the location of assets for tax purposes are contained at Section 275 of the Capital Gains Tax Act of 1992. In many instances, the location of an asset will usually be obvious. For example, assets such as land and buildings are located for tax purposes in the place they are physically situated. The same is true for chattels, such as paintings, etc., and for assets such as cash or money held in a bank account. A bank account is located in the place that the bank is located. Shares are located where the register of shares is kept. For example, shares that are listed on the London Stock Exchange are situated in the UK. Note that shares are not necessarily located in the country in which the company is resident for tax purposes. A company is resident in the UK for corporation tax purposes if it is managed and controlled in the UK. Therefore, many companies whose shares are registered outside the UK are treated as UK resident for tax purposes. However, for inheritance tax purposes, as the shares in these companies are registered abroad, the shares are regarded as foreign assets. Bearer shares are situated where the relevant share certificate is located. A debt is a chargeable asset for inheritance tax purposes. The debt is located where the debtor resides. The debtor is the person from whom the debt is owed. For example, if a French domiciliary is owed money by a UK individual, the debt is an asset of the estate for inheritance tax purposes and is treated as a UK asset as the debtor lives in the UK. Judgment debts are located where the relevant judgment is recorded. Therefore, if a US citizen is owed money under a court judgment issued by a court in the UK, the debt is a UK asset for IHT purposes. Therefore, if you are dealing with the inheritance tax affairs of an individual who is not domiciled in the UK, it is very important that you establish the location of each asset for IHT purposes. It is important that we are comfortable with what constitutes excluded property, as such assets are outside the scope of IHT. Excluded property essentially means the non-UK assets of an individual who is not domiciled in the UK. There are, however, one or two exceptions to this general rule. Section 6 of the Inheritance Tax Act contains a few exceptions. For example, a holding in an authorised unit trust or shares in an open-ended investment company should not be excluded property, as they are situated in the UK. However, if such assets are beneficially owned by an individual who is domiciled outside the United Kingdom, under Section 6, subsection 1A, they will be excluded property. Similarly, assets such as 3.5% war loan, national savings certificates, premium bonds and national savings and investments accounts are also UK situated assets and should not be excluded property. In this case, if they are beneficially owned by an individual who is domiciled either in the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man, under Section 6, subsection 3, these assets are regarded as excluded property. Note, this second exception only applies to individuals domiciled in the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man. Therefore, if a Japanese-domiciled individual dies owning national savings certificates or premium bonds, etc., those assets are chargeable to IHT. Another exception to the general rule can be found in Section 157 IHTA 1984. If an individual holds a foreign currency account in the UK, under normal circumstances, the account is a UK asset and is subject to inheritance tax. However, if the holder of the account is neither resident in the UK nor domiciled in the UK, the UK foreign currency account is regarded as excluded property. Therefore, if a US national holds a US dollar account in a UK bank, on his death the value of the account is ignored for IHT purposes. The concept of deemed domicile is extremely important for inheritance tax purposes. In certain instances, an individual who is not domiciled in the UK can be treated as UK domicile for inheritance tax purposes only. These deemed domicile rules only apply for IHT. They do not apply for capital gains or income tax. It is therefore possible for an individual to be treated as not domiciled for income tax or CGT, but to be regarded as deemed domicile for inheritance tax purposes only. The effect of pretending that an individual is domiciled in the UK for inheritance tax purposes is very dramatic, in that it brings an individual's worldwide estate into the charge to inheritance tax. For many non-UK domiciliaries, a common tax planning exercise is to restrict their UK estate to a level at or around that of the IHT nil band. This ensures that if they die, the amount of inheritance tax payable is kept to a minimum. This type of tax planning does not work if the non-domiciliary is treated as being domiciled in the UK, because the whole of their worldwide estate would then be chargeable. The deemed domicile rules are contained at Section 267 of the Inheritance Tax Act. An individual is deemed to be domiciled in the UK under two circumstances. An individual is treated as UK domiciled if he or she has actually been domiciled at any time in the 3 years preceding a chargeable transfer. Secondly, an individual is deemed domiciled in the UK if he has been resident in the UK for at least 17 of the 20 tax years ending with the year of transfer. This is the only time when the concept of residence is important for inheritance tax. We shall now look at examples of how these rules apply. Ray left the UK permanently on the 27th of August 2010 to set up home in Australia. HMRC accept that Ray has left the UK to settle permanently abroad. Ray will therefore be treated as not domiciled in the UK from the 27th of August 2010. However, for inheritance tax purposes under Section 267, Ray is treated as being domiciled in the UK for the next 3 years, i.e. until the 27th of August 2013. Therefore, if Ray makes a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes between August 2010 and August 2013, UK inheritance tax may be payable. A chargeable transfer here means either a gift to a trust or Ray's death. Therefore, if Ray were to die before August 2013, he would die domiciled in the UK, and his worldwide estate would be subject to UK inheritance tax. Essentially, under Section 267, an individual will remain domiciled in the UK for inheritance tax purposes for 3 years after losing his normal UK domicile. This rule is designed to prevent individuals from taking steps to acquire a domicile of choice outside the UK just before they die, purely in order to save UK inheritance tax. In this example, we have a taxpayer called Mario, who is domiciled in Italy. Mario came to live in the UK in June 1995 and has been resident and ordinarily resident here ever since. Once a non-domiciled individual has been resident in the UK for 17 tax years, he automatically becomes domiciled in the UK for inheritance tax purposes. Therefore, Mario will acquire a domicile in the UK for IHT purposes with effect from the 6th of April 2011, i.e. from the tax year 2011-12. As Mario is deemed to be domiciled in the UK, any transfers of worldwide assets after this date are subject to UK inheritance tax. Therefore, in practice, it is very important that you review the files of clients who have been resident in the UK for a long period of time, but who are continuing to file tax returns on the basis that they remain domiciled outside the UK. In this instance, if Mario can convince the revenue that his permanent home is in Italy rather than the UK, he can continue to be treated as non-domiciled for income tax and for capital gains tax, but for inheritance tax purposes, he will be caught under Section 267, and his worldwide estate will be subject to IHT. A common tax planning scheme for non-domiciliaries involves the use of an excluded property trust. This is particularly useful for individuals who are about to become deemed domiciled under Section 267. Such as with Mario in the previous example. A trust is a separate legal person, and as such will have its own domicile. The domicile status of the trust is the same as that of its settlor at the creation of the trust. Therefore, if a non-domiciled individual sets up a trust, the trust is also non-UK domiciled. If that trust holds non-UK assets, those assets are excluded property.
Returning to the example of Mario, Mario will become deemed domiciled in the UK on the 6th of April 2011. Let us assume that before he acquires a UK domicile, i.e. in March 2011, Mario puts his non-UK assets into a Jersey trust. As Mario was non-UK domiciled at the time that he set up the trust itself is regarded as not domiciled in the UK.
As this trust will hold foreign assets, this trust is called an excluded property trust. Excluded property trusts are outside the scope of inheritance tax. This will be the case even if Mario subsequently acquires a UK domicile. Therefore, if Mario were to die whilst domiciled in the UK, the assets in the trust would be protected from inheritance tax. This is a common tax planning device used by non-UK domiciliaries, as it enables the individual to have access to the property in the trust whilst keeping the assets outside the scope of UK inheritance tax. Finally, in this session, we shall look at double tax relief. Relief for overseas tax is either given under the provisions of a tax treaty or, more commonly, is given unilaterally under Section 159 of the Inheritance Tax Act. Double tax relief is most commonly given where a UK-domiciled individual dies with foreign assets in his death estate. If overseas tax has been charged in respect of the foreign asset, the asset has been charged in two places at the same time, so unilateral relief will be given. In this instance, the foreign tax is given as a credit against UK inheritance tax in the IHT computation. In certain instances, not all of the foreign tax will be credited against UK tax. The amount of double tax relief allowed under Section 159 is the lower of two numbers. Firstly, the double tax relief cannot exceed the foreign inheritance tax suffered. The revenue have recognised that certain overseas countries do not necessarily have an inheritance tax regime as we know it, and have confirmed that credit will be given for foreign tax which is broadly equivalent to IHT. Secondly, the DTR cannot exceed the UK inheritance tax charged on the foreign asset. To calculate the UK tax on the foreign asset, we use an average rate, otherwise known as an estate rate. If the actual foreign tax suffered exceeds the UK inheritance tax on the foreign asset, any excess foreign tax credits are wasted. Therefore, if the overseas country charges inheritance tax at a rate in excess of 40%, there will be some overseas tax credits which become unrelieved.
By way of an example, Robert died in February 2011. Robert has total lifetime transfers of £140,000. He died domiciled in the UK. The assets in Robert's estate should now have appeared on your screen.
You will see that Robert has UK property in the form of a house and some shares. He also has a villa in Spain. All these assets are chargeable because Robert is UK domiciled. We are told that the Spanish authorities charge death tax on the villa of £70,000. The effective rate of tax on the foreign property is therefore 35%. Our requirement is to calculate the UK inheritance tax payable.
We start with Robert's total estate, which is £785,000. As Robert made lifetime transfers of £140,000, the nil band remaining is £185,000.
The taxable estate is £600,000, which, when charged at 40%, gives inheritance tax before DTR of £240,000. As Robert's death estate included foreign property on which overseas tax has been suffered, double tax relief will be given. The double tax relief will be the lower of the overseas tax suffered, i.e. £70,000, and the UK inheritance tax charged on the villa in Spain. To calculate the IHT on the foreign asset, we must first work out an estate rate.
The UK inheritance tax is £240,000. When expressed as a fraction of the total estate of £785,000, this gives us an estate rate of 30.573%. Note that the maximum estate rate can never exceed 40%. Therefore, to calculate the UK inheritance tax on the villa in Spain, we simply take the value of the villa in the death estate and multiply by the estate rate. £200,000 multiplied by 30.573% gives inheritance tax on the Spanish villa of £61,146. As this is less than the overseas tax actually suffered, the double tax relief available will be £61,146. The double tax relief reduces the inheritance tax payable on Robert's death to £178,854. Here you will see that the UK tax on the villa in Spain is less than the overseas tax suffered. In this instance, the excess foreign tax credit will be wasted.